Brooklyn. Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Would Save the World. It is the first... Well, we've had Peter on here many times. Peter Solar is now our fucking co-host, and we just started fighting. I was like, what are you doing on your phone? And Peter was like, I'm fucking promoting the show, you fucking piece of shit. He didn't call me... They didn't call me a piece of shit, but it was still funny. And then I was like, wow, I'm an asshole. And they were like, oh, I'm trying to promote your goddamn show that I'm... How are you feeling today, Peter?
I'm okay.
Are you mad now?
No.
You should be mad. I'm going to be coercive and tell you how you
Why do I have my laptop again?
Because we're looking at our fucking... Whatever, I'll fucking...
Yeah, the Google Doc that you never shared with me. Okay.
I never shared the Google Doc with you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Fuck. I'm a piece of shit. Okay, everybody. So today's episode is called What is Bravery? And we're talking about this because, as you probably know, Rose McGowan is saying that she was verbally abused at her reading of her book Brave at Barnes & Noble this past... Was it like what, last week or the week before? I don't even know.
Yeah.
And Andy Deer, a trans woman, stood up and was like, said some shit that was like, I would like you to address the comments you made on, I would like you to address the comments you made on RuPaul's podcast about trans women. And the quote, what is that quote exactly? Do we have that quote on hand right now? It's a fucking quote where she's like, oh, they never asked me what it's like to be a woman. She calls like trans women guys and... Yeah, and then Andy Deer ended up getting taken out of the fucking Barnes & Noble and all this fucking shit blowing up on Twitter. And I would just like to talk a little bit about what the fuck bravery actually is. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because, yes, I'm not trying to take away the fact that Rose McGowan is brave for confronting the fucking Harvey Weinstein thing. Like, that's, we're not going to take that away from her. However... Something I have noticed is that over and over, time and time again, trans women are not allowed to be brave. They're not allowed to get credit for any movement, their own or anybody else's. Do you agree with me, Peter? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no. There's a huge issue of trans erasure.
Yeah, like... for example, like Stonewall. At Stonewall, Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson, if you don't know who they are, please Google them. They were some of the first people to throw the brick at Stonewall, at the police. And if you don't know what Stonewall... Peter, do you want to explain what Stonewall is?
Stonewall was a confrontation with police in 1969 after... So, historically, throughout the 60s, the police would raid gay, lesbian, and trans bars and, like, beat the shit out of people. And Stonewall... 1969 at Stonewall Inn in the West Village, people fought back, and the uprising was actually led by trans women like Sylvia Rivera. But then in 2016, they had a movie about Stonewall that Hollywood produced, starring this nice, hot looking young cis white guy. Like, so you know, it just shows the issue of like trans erasure. In these movements, and that, in fact, queer and trans people have been at the forefront of resistance and uprisings and just speaking out, like, about these issues.
Like, forever.
Yeah, forever.
And so, if you Google this whole situation at the fucking Barnes & Noble. Like, you will hear some shit about Andy Deere. That's a whole other thing. And I just want to say that regardless of what you think of that, it doesn't remove the fact that what she was saying is very important. That the larger feminist movement is not paying attention to trans issues. You can see that reflected in the Women's March. Just the fact that people are wearing pink pussy hats and saying we're for all women. See, nobody's saying ever, like, I've never heard anybody say you cannot be a woman who is proud of their vagina and who understands that they have a specific kind of oppression that comes from having a uterus and comes from, you know, reproductive, you know, justice and all the things we have to fight for. Nobody is saying that that isn't the case, that you can't be proud of that. But what we're saying is that if you're going to have a movement that stands for all women and it's not inclusive of trans women, then you're not fucking brave. And the way that fucking the way Rose McGowan acted, whether you think that Andy Deere did this or that or that, fucking Rose McGowan did not know that in that moment. And she treated Andy Deere like a piece of shit and said, I'm not from your planet. What the fuck is that? Like, that's like, what are the, first of all, let's be very clear. I think Rose McGowan is like a fucking megalomaniac or something, like, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can see that with the show. She wants to create this show.
Yes. Yeah, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, so now, like, to me, like, if Rose McGowan was actually, like, completely brave, like, again, like, I'm not going to take away, like, yeah, she should start with Weinstein, good for her. But, like, if she was actually going to be, like, brave, she would have brought Andy Deere on stage and discussed it. That's my opinion, because that's where you get into this whole thing where it's like, are you a feminist within the eyes of capitalism? Because if you're a feminist within the eyes of capitalism, then I don't really think you're helping that much. What do you think of that? What do you think yeah, about, I mean, feminism? What do you think?
It's more, it's just like a general, it's just weird general, like, connotation of, like, oh, we're women and women's issues and, like, women and, like, just examining the whole of society just through this very specific lens that just kind of just, it doesn't address the material reality of, like, black women or trans women or poor women or any of that. It's just focused on this one thing of, like, yeah, men suck and, like, I've been abused and treated badly and then...
Well, then we also don't ever talk about, like, what accountability is.
No.
And that's another essay. I'm very confused about that. I actually have an ex-partner who I've been talking to, and I'm just not sure how to even, like, go about it. Like, they're not even a bad person. They're not, like, I think they are truly sorry, but, like, now I'm left with this deep sadness and this trauma that I don't know how to get rid of. And it's like, I want them to fix it for me, but they can't. So how do we go about these kinds of things? Do we ever let people, not like Weinstein, but like, do we ever let people back into our cultures or back into our circles? When do people get to be forgiven if they get to be?
I mean, it's more of an addressing of the social forces that cause people to behave this way, you know? So
yeah, I guess it's like a thing that, like, accountability probably comes, like, with time. Like, eventually, I like to believe that we live in a culture where, like, when kids are little and they hit someone, they immediately have to participate in an accountability process.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know what that would even look like. But in terms of, like, so I think it's, like, pretty fucked up that Rose McGowan's now going to go, like, have this TV show and this book and make a fuck ton of money off of all this shit. Like...
Oh, my favorite thing is accusing Andy of being a paid actor when, like, Rose McGowan is legit. Like, that's her profession.
Oh my god, that's so fucking funny. Something else I wanted to talk about is that, okay, so in the case of Sylvia Rivera. So Sylvia Rivera, all her actions and all the amazing things she did were erased. But so I was at this fucking event and there was this girl and we were talking and she said, oh, I don't like drag queens because I think they're appropriating femininity. And while, like, there actually are a lot of trans women who do feel this way, from my conversations I've had, some trans women feel, this woman was not trans, this was a cis girl who's talking to me, but also on What Would Save the World, we're doing this new thing, it's called Left Splaining. You can look hashtag leftsplain. It means that we're going to explain to you what certain words mean because we're not going to talk to you like we're in a bubble, just in case. So trans, in case you're not aware, is somebody who was assigned a certain gender at birth and that is not their gender. So like AFAB would stand for assigned female at birth, which would mean somebody who is probably like a trans man. Right. Well, I was assigned female at birth. I'm AFAB and I accepted that. But like somebody who is assigned female at birth, but is a man would be that's a trans man. And then like a cis man is someone who is assigned AMAB, assigned male at birth, and feels like that's a proper assignment. Would you say, am I describing that correctly? I think.
Yeah, that was good enough.
Yeah, it was good enough. Yeah. So, So the cis woman was telling me, drag queens are appropriating femininity and a lot of trans women have feelings about drag queens because they, for a bunch of different reasons, but because a lot of people confuse trans women and drag queens and it's like very uncomfortable, especially because you have people like a lot of cis gay men who appropriate a lot of trans slurs like the T word that I'm not going to say here and think it's like funny and feel entitled to say that, even though that's not their word, but that's a whole thing about drag culture that's complicated. But what people don't realize a lot of time, and a lot of people do, is that there is a huge overlap between the drag community and the trans community, especially in the earlier days. For example, Sylvia Rivera actually did refer to herself as a drag queen at certain points. And later on in life, there's like a quote of her saying something like, I don't identify as anything or some shit. And this girl was telling me, I said, oh, well, you know that drag queens were responsible for a huge part of the LGBT rights movement in Stonewall. And she's like, oh, well, that's great or everything, but they're still like men. And I was like, what the fuck is your problem? And she was like, well, like Sylvia Rivera would have had a man's body and man's conditioning. Like women would never do that. Women would never throw a brick like that. And I was like, well, I would. Am I not a woman? Like, what are you talking? And I was like, and it just got like a little ridiculous. And eventually I was like, look, like by you saying that Sylvia Rivera is just a man erases her entire life. Mm-hmm. Like erases her entire experience as a trans woman, her entire experience of like all the harassment that she faced. And all the I think that is like a huge misconception that I'm seeing in the media right now. People are like, oh, well, only people with uteruses and only people who are quote unquote bio women, which is another ridiculous thing, in my opinion. But experience. And it's like, OK, anybody who takes on any amount of feminine characteristics gets harassed for it. For example, if Peter dressed up in a dress and makeup right now and went to the store, they would get a lot more shit than I would for putting on a fake beard. That's just a thing. So it's ridiculous to pretend like people like Sylvia Rivera do not get treated like women or if not worse, because there's a whole stigma of trans women being liars. That's mm-hmm. a whole thing. So it's like one of the so people feel very angry at trans women because they, in fact, put upon them a very strong misogynist thing. People call it trans misogyny. It is a very specific thing, but it's also, you know, clearly like linked to misogyny, which comes back to the Bible, to the idea that Eve is a liar, and trans women get the strongest shit of that. Mm-hmm. All right. They get the strongest shit of that of you're a liar. And I think that people gaslight trans people all the fucking time with this with pronoun shit. It's like, oh, you're not allowed to get mad for me messing up your pronoun. While you may have made an honest mistake, you really have to start fucking understanding people's trauma. And like how a lot of people have it out for trans people and how fucked up of a world it is. I want you guys to fucking listen to this speech. Y'all better quiet down. It's from 1973. Sylvia Rivera is screaming about this at a fucking like some sort of action at Washington Square Park. And let me tell you something. A lot of what she's saying is the same stuff that the trans movement is talking about right now. And that tells you haven't been listening.
No, I said it's the mic on.
Why is it fucking stop? He's holding my mic up.
No, I...
Yeah! down. Nothing. I've been trying to get up here all day for your gay brothers and your gay sisters in jail. They write me every motherfucking week and ask for your help. And you all don't do a goddamn thing for them. Have you ever been beaten up and raped in jail? Now think about it. They've been beaten up and raped after they haven't spent much of their money in jail to get their cell phones and tried to get their sex change. The women have tried to fight for their sex changes or to become women of the women's liberation. And they write STAR, not the women's group. They do not write women. They do not write men. They write STAR. Because we're trying to do something for them. I have been to jail. I have been raped and beaten many times by men, heterosexual men, that do not belong in the homosexual shelter. But do you do anything for them? No, you all tell me to go and hide my tail between my legs. I will not no longer put up with this shit. I have been beaten. I have had my nose broken. I have been thrown in jail. I have lost my job. I have lost my apartment for gay liberation. And you all treat me this way? What the fuck's wrong with you all? Think about that. I do not believe in a revolution. But you all do. I believe in the gay power. I believe in us getting our rights, or else I would not be out there fighting for our rights. That's all I wanted to say to your people. If you all want to know about the people that are in jail, and do not forget Bambi L'Amour and Dora Marks, Kenny Messner, and other gay people that are in jail, come and see the people at Star House on 12th Street, on 640 East 12th Street, between B and C, apartment 14. The people that are trying to do something for all of us, and not men and women that belong to a white middle class, white club, and that's what you all belong to. Revolution now! Give me a G!
Oh my god, I love her so much. Gay power! Gay power! Oh my god. Yeah, so that shit. Alright, Peter has a very specific thing we need to talk about on this show.
Yeah, no, so the whole thing surrounding what happened at Barnes & Noble is that, like, all these accusations came against Andy and an effort to delegitimize her. Points that she was making, and they turn out to be true. And like, you then see Rose McGowan's turf army then use it as justification to be like, yeah, all trans women are just like weird rapist pedophile men. And then, like, it just brings up this whole question is like, if someone who's done shitty stuff makes a valid point in interrupting someone who's also a fucking shitty person, it doesn't take away their point. So, like, I thought of the whole idea of, like, what if Louis C.K. punched Richard Spencer? Like,
no, what if Louis C.K. killed Richard Spencer?
Yeah, what if Louis C.K. killed Richard Spencer? Like, what would you think about that situation, you know?
Yeah, I really don't know what I would do about that. Like, what do we do about them rape hippies, you know? Like, Peter just rolled his eyes at me. All right. Peter's like, why did you have to say that?
No, that's not why.
Why did you roll your eyes at me?
Because it's like, I'll talk to you afterwards about that.
Oh, because I fucking read off the document?
Yeah, no, you just straight went there without making any...
No, I swear...
Any transition or...
Oh my god, I swear it's fucking relevant, though.
Yeah, no, it is relevant.
It's relevant because fucking, like, rave hippies, like, are the kinds of people, like, okay, so we have all these fucking people who come to, like, these marches and all these actions that we have going on in the city who are, like, pieces of shit and, like, known harassers and shit, but they would totally, like, if they saw Richard Spencer, they would totally punch Richard Spencer. What do we do if the rape hippies do good things?
You justify the action, but the person's still a shitty person.
Yeah, exactly. You can justify the action.
It's all these killings of cops by Nazis in the past few weeks. So this like really militant neo-Nazi group called Atomwaffen has killed at least like 5 or 6 officers.
Oh my god. I bet they think they're going to get mad Bernie bros on their side. No, like seriously, like there was this article that was all about like the far left, or not the far left, the fucking alt-right trying to recruit people who are like, you know, sad white men from the left who feel like they're being ignored. Like, that's, like, totally what that's about. So, let's be real. If a rape hippie punches Richard Spencer or if Louis C.K. kills Richard Spencer, they're still shitty people. So, the way I'm feeling about all this is let's not glorify Andy Deere specifically, but let's glorify the message that she put across. That's how I feel about all that. And I feel like people who stand up for that can be brave. But don't erase the actions of trans women. That's really what it comes down to. Don't erase the actions trans women have taken in their own movements and other people's movements. And that's really important. And I think that I don't think it's wrong to punch Nazis. Just wanted to throw that out there. So let's see, what else should we talk about today? So the way that cis people interact with trans people is really fucking shitty. I really hate it. Let's address this fucking thing. Did this fucking post. Are you ready to do this, Peter? You don't propose to talk about it? Okay, so this fucking guy that I used to have I almost did this fucking porn thing with him, but he wrote this thing on Facebook. Maybe it's time I've made a powerful statement. In many ways, you can consider this a coming out, though I don't consider it as such. I'm non-binary. While I exist in a masculine body, I'm entirely femme, especially in my modeling. Observe the photos here, and if you look closely, you can identify the feminine energy. You absolutely can. I found a lot of freedom and empowerment being able to walk the line between both genders, expressing masculinity with my feminine energy. I love having the capacity to allow myself to be vulnerable and present raw in my emotion in my art. I love having the intuition and empathy that comes from the empathy that comes more natural to the feminine spirit, the female spirit. But with all that in mind, I don't expect to be addressed as MX or them or there. I expect to be addressed by my visible gender attributes. I would not be offended by being called Mr. or him or his because that is my biology. That is how I am recognized. If you are trans or non-binary or gender fluid, I will recognize you as the gender you present yourself as. If you have an issue with me assuming your gender, then maybe you should present yourself more as the gender you prefer to be clumped into rather than expect everyone to guess correctly. I'm not going to allow myself to walk on eggshells for you, and bad on you for putting out that type of unnerving energy. So you guys,
that guy's just a prick. Like it starts off thinking that he's gonna come out as like non-binary and have this whole like conversation, but it's just a way to like punch down.
Yeah, but it feels like, oh, you only posted that for that end
point. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. And it's this whole thing. And that's like the whole issue right now. That's the alt-right. That's all these guys. Is these guys being like offended or feeling oppressed for someone being upset about their oppression or about their oppressive behavior? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, somebody told you they didn't like the way you were treating them. You must be an oppressor.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous. So, how do you think people should react if someone gets upset with them for accidentally misgendering them?
kill them. No, no, it's like you just be like, actually, this way. And then you're like, oh, sorry. And then you go on.
Yeah,
it's like, really not that big of a fucking deal.
Yeah, like, and yeah, I feel like the only people making a huge deal about that are like,
or the people that don't want to fucking do it. Like, yeah,
I don't understand that. I really don't understand this like Ben Shapiro shit. Where Ben Shapiro?
Oh God, yeah. Ben Shapiro's whole thing is that he views like trans issues as like a mental illness. It's like it's a serious problem. I feel for them. You know, they need to be corrected. Shit, it's really fucked up. Like, it's almost like eugenics based. Like,
but it's like so weird. He's like upset. So if you don't know who Ben Shapiro is, he's this like snotty little guy. Apparently, people consider him to be left. Some people do. He doesn't like Trump. Apparently,
that doesn't mean he's fucking left.
I don't think he's left. You don't think he's left, but some people do consider that.
No, I'm calling. No. Let me correct you. Let me mansplain what the hell you just got fucking wrong, Tuke. Okay,
all right, mansplain to me on my show.
Bitch. I'll mansplain to you, Ben.
Get the fuck out of my studio. Get the fuck out of my studio, you piece of little shit.
Okay.
All right, explain it though.
Okay, yeah. No, Ben Shapiro's he's just like a right wing journalist who appeals to like conservatives and moderate conservatives, and liberals like him because they can use him as like a cudgel against like the far right and be like, oh, see, look, this is what a good Republican is. And, oh my God. You know, and like he has some, he has a right to be pissed at the alt-right because he was personally like doxxed and attacked and all this shit for him. He's Jewish. But at the end of the day, his rhetoric and all this stuff goes perfectly in line with their philosophy, you know?
No, absolutely.
He's a white supremacist, even if he doesn't.
Yeah, like I can sit here. Look. Like, I think he's a piece of shit. And I also think that it's ridiculous how obsessed he is with fucking talking about logic and reality. Mm-hmm. And like when he's wearing,
logical.
When he's wearing a goddamn yarmulke. Okay? Like I'm Jewish and I like, cannot even believe how ridiculous that is. He's like, oh, it's not logical. It's not real. I'm like, okay, well, you know what's not logical and you know what's not real? The fucking story of Esther. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You think that fucking Esther saved the Jews of Persia? Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you believe that, you believe in a monotheistic God that gave these fucking, like, plaques or whatever to Moses in the fucking desert, like, thousands of years ago. Like, that's what you believe in. You know what I'm saying? And, like, and you don't think it's, like, rational or logical that maybe someone doesn't identify with the fucking gender identity they've been given. And then also, so he makes this point where he's like, women and men, there have been two genders for all of history. This is not true.
No, it's not
that
true.
That is not true. So I feel like, so people are always like, oh, don't debate the right, don't debate the white. He is someone that I actually like legitimately really want to debate because I have never watched a video where anyone actually confronts him with the flaws of his anti-transgender debate. His points are not good. They're not accurate.
They're not logical.
They're not logical, and they're not based in history. So no. I really want to debate him, and I want it on the internet because I think that I would win. But there have been multiple indigenous societies, and in India there is a legal third gender, that's a whole other thing because you should look into that. The hirsutes, and it's they are a little bit, I don't know a little bit. I don't really know the details, but I know they are oppressed and they're treated like second class citizens. But there is a third gender that is legal in India. There have been more than one gender role. There have been considered to be as many as 8 genders in certain indigenous groups. And the argument I hear back for that a lot is, okay, well, now we're in the modern world and that was uncivilized. And I have two things to say about that is Ben Shapiro is making the point that it is historically, that's part of the reason why we should respect the idea of men and women. So that's gone. It's not historically. It's not like that. Only in European history, maybe, which is, you know, of course, that's the only one that really matters. But to say that to say that indigenous societies are uncivilized is ridiculous because if you ever fucking take an echinacea, do you know what I'm saying? Like there are still medications that we use to this day that a lot of indigenous groups discovered and utilized, and some of them are even better than the modern medicine that we've created. So yes, I have just fucking confronted that. And for people to say it's not natural, there are certain different, there are different animals. There have been animals that have been known to have certain animals associate with. What are you doing to my asshole? Okay, stop. It's annoying noise. I'm turning off your mic. Okay, stop. All right. So, yeah. So there are multiple animals actually that do not associate with the genders that the two gender things. So, and then also let's talk about intersex. When people want to talk about bio female and bio that, it's ridiculous because there are so many fucking variations, and you should really look into this. There is not just a penis and a vagina. There is not, and it is rare. I will give you that. The actual specific bio, like, you know, body born into this natal body thing, but there are animals that can switch between being a girl and a boy, like just naturally. So fuck you if you agree with Ben Shapiro. I fucking dare somebody to fucking help me get a debate for Ben Shapiro. Okay. So, Peter, do you have anything you want to say?
No, you pretty much just, like, transplained to Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, I left-splained all of it. So, now...
Basically, he's a prick. He's a gaslighting piece of shit motherfucker. And, you know, he doesn't talk... If he wants to talk about history and logic and what the hell works, you want to know what's not logical is fucking... endless growth on a fucking closed earth with limited resources and exploiting the fuck out of people and not paying them.
Yeah, that's not fucking logical.
You know, what's logical is that the fact that you were able to fucking pay your way on daddy's dime to get a fucking... I'm a conservative journalist, and this is like, yeah, fuck you. There's a bunch of other people that do the same fucking shit that don't get credit for it, so go fuck yourself.
And also,
yeah,
the way he debates, people say that's like a good debate tactic, but he literally just like interrupts people.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Like, people will be like, you know, he's like...
He's a fucking...
Oh, my God. He's like the worst. He's like one of these like awful comedians who just couldn't be funny, so that he just like learned to debate shitty talking points.
Right. And then all the supporters love it. It's like Ben Shapiro owns libs.
And it's like he didn't own them. He just cut them off 12 times. God. Owning libs. Yo, that's so fucking funny. I want to start a band called Owning Liberals.
Own the libs.
Oh, and then he owns an SJW. What's an SJW, Peter?
That's not something that needs to be explained. Yeah, I feel like you're talking to your audience like they're complete fucking morons.
No, I want you to. I wanted to hear your take on what an SJW is.
They're not real.
I'm an SJW.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No. Well, SJW is a slur.
Yeah, but I'm owning that slur.
I think we need to stop reclaiming shit. I saw a good piece on The Outline about how reclaiming words has gotten just fucking stupid. How saying like shithole and stuff is just kind of stupid. It doesn't. We can't reclaim stuff like that.
But I want to get SJW and cultural Marxist tattooed to my inner thighs.
Go for it.
And I'm not talking to my audience like they're idiots. I'm not assuming my audience doesn't fucking know what this shit is. I'm assuming that maybe there's one or two people who tune in who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, and I want to keep them, bitch.
You mean the people just like scrolling through the podcast libraries and they find this and they're like, what the hell is this?
What the hell is this? Fucking weird people. The fucking poster for this episode is a fucking the redheaded brave girl.
Yeah, what the hell?
It was fucking funny. I googled the word brave and that's what came up, and I thought it'd be funny to make an ad out of it. Oh, we were gonna fucking talk about the fucking Philly riots. I know you got some shit to say.
Yeah, Philly. Yo, Eagles won. Fly, bird, fly. Okay, anyway. No, it actually means something to me because I used to live in Philadelphia and shit, and like it's fine. But
are they brave? Who's are brave? They
brave? Okay, so basically what happened? No, that's not a good debate. There's a lot of stupid hot takes out there and a lot of
bullshit. Don't fucking tell me what's not a good debate, bitch.
No, I'm just saying it's a stupid shit that the left is very reactive to things, and they have all these assumptions about things the same way the right does, which just doesn't correspond to what actually happens on the ground. So yeah, there's
on
like
the ground,
so basically the ground, there's a huge did. So Eagles won the Super Bowl for the first time in forever, and about 100,000 people took to the streets and just, like, burned that motherfucker down. Crazy riots, and overwhelmed the police. They couldn't do anything. And, you know...
Yeah, they could have.
No, I'm about... Stop. I'm about... No, so basically what happened is there's all these debates over, like, whether it's... There's a racial standard because, you know, you have the J20 defendants and the Black Lives Matter riots. And, yeah, obviously there's a racial double standard there. You know, white sports fans burning down a fucking city is not going to get the same level of repression that the J20 riots had. Granted, the difference being that the J20 riots were, like, the cops planned to destroy that shit from the beginning because it was, like, they view that as a threat. They view anarchists, Antifa, and Black radical activists as a threat. Hence why, you know, the FBI has Black identity extremists and Antifa extremists on their watch list, and they don't have, like, rowdy sports fan extremists on their watch list. That being said, what happened in Philly was quite remarkable and even unusual as far as sports riots go. So you had a good contingent of people using it as an opportunity to disrupt business as usual and get goods for their community as well as raise other social justice issues. So, like, there's people chanting Free Meek Mill, who's the Philly rapper that's incarcerated right now. I saw images of Black youth, like, breaking into a Wawa and saying everything is free and taking stuff like that. There was pitch battles with the police between Black teenagers. So basically the whole narrative that, like, the police were hands off or, like, they don't care about this stuff is just kind of, like, false, because what happened was that you had 100,000 people that, like, you never see a Black block that size. You're never going to see a protest that size. Last time a protest in terms of, like, a riot protest, like a rowdy protest, was Seattle 99. That's the last time you got that many people in the street. And that's because it was a wide issue, you know, anti-globalization against this huge fucking thing that affects everybody. And that's just the reality of the situation. Like, when the left talks about appealing to the mainstream, what they're really talking about is appealing to, like, middle-class white liberals. That's what it means, you know, and that's the reality you have to do. So, like, you either do your shit in defiance or without regard to the mainstream, but if your actual thing is, like, oh, I want to appeal to the mainstream, it's like, you can't be hand-wringing over the fact that how white it is, because the whiteness and mainstream are, like, that is what it is. So,
yeah, but
the opportunity of what Philly presents itself as is, like, that's the goal. Is, like, you use a moment like that to push through what the hell you want to do, you know? And people did do that. There was a good amount of Black people. It's Philadelphia, for fuck's sake. Like, Black people took to the streets and did their shit, you know?
Yeah, I,
like,
hear that, but it was in celebration of a fucking sports team winning something and not in protest.
Not in protest, yeah. And I get what you're never saying. You're never gonna get that.
I think that's fatalistic.
Fatalistic?
Yeah, I think that what we could
do... I mean, look, we tried to do that with the Women's March, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't work because we fucking let... It doesn't work because the way we sell it is bad. We need to do some serious fucking work getting people to understand the history of protest and historically what has worked. In fact, I think that we should fucking be taking... this is, like, so insane and no one's going to let us do it, but we should fucking have protest ed. That should be, like, a thing that is in public schools or fucking social change education where we fucking, like, have activists come in and do, like, a side educational program where we explain the history of, like, Stonewall, the history of the Spanish Civil War. We explain how movements got done and what civil disobedience is. And we explain what Martin Luther King actually said and what he actually did and his issue with the white moderate. And we explain to people young what protest looks like. And I think if we did that, we would actually get more people. And we need to make those stories clearer to the fucking white liberals. And that is where I do get a little bit, like, last week on the show when we talked about how I don't like how activists will sometimes talk to people who ask questions just because they seem antagonistic. And that's where we fall into this thing where it's complicated, because I think a lot of people are traumatized by their experience with, say, the police being invalidated. But some people legitimately just want to understand. Do you know, they just want to understand. So We have to start explaining these things to people, because I think if we explained to people correctly and we didn't fucking yell at them, then they would understand. And that's some people's job and other people's not. Not everybody has to deal with the emotional labor. I had to explain to someone online after this Rose McGowan shit. They were like going after one of my trans friends, being like, oh, could you explain this to me? Explain this to me. And I was like, look, maybe they don't want to do the fucking emotional explainer labor of explaining it to you. There's tons of resources online. And she's like, yeah, but like, I would learn more from the individual person. I was like, okay, well, tons of individual people have written about their own personal perspective, and you can find that. Not everybody wants to be your fucking teacher. Some people just want to fucking exist. And white cis people like myself, although I don't really consider myself to be cis, but I try not to take up a lot of space in that way, because I know that I, in my whatever gender blah 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 I have, is completely invisible, and I come off as a femi cis bitch. So like, And that's real too. That's a real thing. Like people, like non-binary people, like if you really, really feel like your non-binary they is invisible and it's like hard for you and this and that, that's a real thing. But for me, I don't struggle with it that much. So like if you, even if you have some things, if it's not really like affecting you that much, be like a good ally to your fucking movement if you can handle the emotional labor. That's how I feel. But yeah, like Peter, like I just think that I think that we need to figure out how to explain these things better to liberals. I think we need to explain these things better to white liberals, and then it'll become very clear who's actually like a lefty liberal and just didn't understand the language, and who's the fucking right winger, and who's the fucking Hillary. Mm-hmm. It'll become clear in seconds. And it becomes clear in seconds when you have these conversations with people, if you give them five seconds. So,
and let's go back to the riots. Like, those narratives just don't match up to what the hell was happening. Neither left nor right. And like, who was the consistent critic of the riots? Was the alt-right, which launched a crazy weird Twitter campaign to link all the violence in Philly with masked protesters and Black Lives Matter. So there was Black Lives Matter activists there protesting the Super Bowl, which was covered extensively by Unicorn Riot, a media collective.
Love Unicorn Riot.
And people join in the fucking shit. There's people in the street. And that's what you do. Like, there's people in the street. You take advantage of it, and you break down the social order.
Yeah,
that's
I
the
agree.
Point.
We should take advantage of it. But I do think, you know, you said, oh,
this whole idea of casting a thing and being like, good riots, bad riots, is a type of dichotomy that you shouldn't have. And just like activist and citizen is just a dichotomy that shouldn't exist. Because we live in a world where citizen and criminal don't, like, those two things have, the line between those two things have vanished, you know? Like, you're criminalized every day under the system, you know, whether you like it or not. The average person commits 3 felonies a day without realizing it.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
What are they?
Just bullshit laws, you know? Like,
3 felonies a day? Do you mean, like, misdemeanors? Come on, explain this.
I can't right now. I'm in the context of the riots. The point being is, I'm not going to blankly condemn a riot that happened that caused like significant material damage, as well as helped liberate space for like people to actually get shit, and which Black youth did participate in. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know,
I hear that. I hear that. Free access to labor, or not labor, free access to resources. And, you know, you know how I feel about that. Everybody should have access to their resources all the time.
But yeah, was it a sports riot? Was it done in celebration? Yeah, of course. There was nothing explicitly political about it. But then at the end of the day, like, everything is political. And there was confrontation with the police. So, like,
there was confrontation with the police, but do you think the police could have gone a little bit harder, but they didn't?
See, that's the type of rhetoric as left-wingers we should not be fucking pushing. As in, like,
no,
do you think the police should have gone? Like,
No. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Do you think they could have gone harder?
No, you're not listening.
Yeah.
I'm saying you think they could have gone harder, and they let up a little bit because it was a sports riot. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, do you think they cut them more slack?
Yeah, they cut them more slack. They didn't go as hard as they were after the anarchists in D.C. because of racial and political lenses of how they view things. You know, they see Antifa as like a threat. They see Black Lives Matter as a threat. They don't see a bunch of rowdy sports bros as a threat. But so that plays into it.
But then they were surprised.
But at the same time, Philly has a history of this stuff, of sports riots, and of a small police department, and of not being able to contain such large numbers. And that's why stuff happens like that in Philly, you know? So fuck, I'm blanking on the names of like St. Louis teams, but like,
oh whatever, fuck
but
it.
If the St. Louis whatever fucking won the Super Bowl, you'd see a fucking, you'd see an, another uprising of people, and depending on police response for that, we'd have to play it by ear. But
so here's what I'm thinking. So, I'm thinking like maybe you're onto something here, that like tactically we should be, you know, having like riots for stupid shit, and then the surprising with the old bait and switch.
No, I mean, not like that. Just stop thinking about things in such binary terms of like political activists.
Yeah, citizens. Like gender.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, fuck your butt.
Queer your activists.
Queer your activists.
Queer your insurrection. queer your enthusiasm. That's probably a meme.
My God, no, queer your enthusiasm. That's so good. No, it's just like when people fucking like get all mad at like somebody does some really stupid shit like curb your enthusiasm, but instead of like doing the boom 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 boom, it just gets like covered in emoji rainbow memes. Mm-hmm. Or the emoji rainbow. I don't know, whatever. I wanted to say something about the fucking right, the binary. Yeah, when I was at fucking Occupy, I used to care. Stop doing that on the mic. Oh my God, stop it. It's fucking distracting.
Occupy.
It's so,
okay, go ahead. I'm just fucking with you.
You're a fucking piece of shit. Everybody, y'all like my new co-host? I would like to get some fucking feedback for this. If you like Peter Soler, you should tell me.
If you want me to be fired, well, we don't get paid for this.
Yeah, but we should. No, nobody has the money for that shit.
Nobody has money.
If you want to sponsor us,
you have money. Yeah, you have money to give the Chapo Trap House, but not the Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah, okay. You have money to give to Chapo Trap House. A bunch of white dudes and one girl. They're all like DSA guys that I've never seen them at a radical action ever. Not once.
They've never actually were part of anything ever. Yeah.
Well, okay, what's this? I gotta say that Amber, she goes around to shit and does good.
Amber
journalism.
Was a journalist for a bunch of different mag, like Baffler and The Nation and stuff. She comes from something. Those other three guys came out of fucking nowhere.
Shut the fuck up. They're not CIA.
Continue with what you're saying. When you were in Occupy.
No, I was going to say that I wore a bracelet that said balance because I was obsessed with breaking down the binary and I was some weird acid kid. I want to talk about Chapo now. I just want to talk about the fact that, like, okay, so she's fucking cool, but I got to say, I think that they have a very, very, very poor understanding of, like, what's actually going on the streets with, like, white supremacists and the Proud Boys and the alt-right. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, a lot of lefty journalists do not understand. The only one who actually, like, understands this shit is Natasha Leonard.
And Jack Smith with Mike.
And there's a
few of them.
I mean, that's mostly, like, independent journalists, though. Yeah. Like, Ash J gets that. If you follow him on Twitter, he's one of the best political...
Ash J.
One of the... Or at Ash Agony. I think he's got one of the best protest Twitters. And then we got Shay Horse, which is just Hunted Horse at Twitter. Got some of the best fucking political journalism. Unicorn Riot's pretty good, too. But, yeah, so Chapo Trap House is just like a bunch of guys in the living room. So, but me and Peter feel like we should just tweet our activist cred at them to try to let us on the show. So we're gonna tweet right now. What are we tweeting at them? I'm gonna tweet at Chapo Trap House.
Oh, let us go on Chapo.
Yeah, let's just both.
Let us go on Chapo to talk about Philly riots and Antifa.
No. We're gonna be like, can we come on your show? And then we're going to put Peter Soler was a J20 defendant. And I'm going to hashtag it activist cred. And okay, so I posted that. Everyone, can we come on your shows? That's what I wrote. I'm going to be like, Peter Soler got punched by a Proud Boy. Wait, is it even, like, going to them? Did I even tweet it at them? I don't even know. Fuck, I hate...
Do you know how to tweet?
I do know how to tweet. Is that what this show's gonna be? Is it just gonna be us, like, fucking getting mad at each other?
It's gonna be us tweeting.
Okay. Okay, so I'm tweeting at fucking Chapo Trap House. I'm gonna fucking write... Peter got punched by a Proud Boy once. And you said... they weren't to be worried about on an episode. Let us tell you why that is not the case. That's actually like a legitimate thing, but they're probably not even going to see it though. But we are radical activists.
No, it's okay. Now you're just being stop.
I'm trying to make fun of them a little bit though. Are you tweeting?
We don't need to. We don't need to give cred because we have the cred.
You fucking ego. All right, everybody, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name's Two Gettalo. This is Peter.
And I'm Peter Solar.
And I really want to get feedback on what you think of this. I know at least one friend is listening, as I got a message about it. And yeah, nobody commented on any of my questions that I tweeted. I tweeted, do you even know who threw the first brick at Stonewall?
I saw one response to the Louis C.K. one. It was like...
Really?
Oh, wait. What?
I didn't see it. It didn't come up. They might have deleted it.
Yeah, because they said something about, like, I would celebrate by, like, fucking my daughter or some shit. Like, it was fucked up. Like,
who said that? No. They must have deleted it.
Yeah.
They were like, shit, I can't say that. She's going to go after me.
No, wait, here it is. What would you do if Louis C.K.?
Did you share it? Is that why?
I model my life on his by adopting a daughter I want to fuck.
Oh my god. 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 I just tweeted back. OMG. 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 So let's see. Did we talk about everything we said we're going to talk about? We did. I'm so proud. Oh my god. Everybody, what would save the world? Nothing. I'm fucking hungry. Let's play a song. Peter, what song should we play?
Born in the U. No, fuck
yes,
that.
Yes, we should play that. Okay, we're playing. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Here we go. We're probably going to come back after this song, but here we go. If you ever want to check out past episodes, go to whatwouldsavetheworld.podomatic.com. This is a fucking terrible song. You want me to hate this song too, Peter? I talked a bit about it with you. This is like literally like the worst fucking song ever.
This is a really bad song. Damn, what happened in prison? Yo, so in middle school, I used to have this like math teacher, who looked like Bruce Springsteen, and he was also like a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
He was like, "It gets bitches." Yeah,
I'm gonna go see Bruce Springsteen over the weekend. And I'm like, what the fuck? Yo, but he's like a working class hero. He talks about like the working class and how it sucks to live in New Jersey, which I understand. Yeah, no, if I grew up in New Jersey, I would also fucking be very depressed about that. But
this is like so.
His voice is weird. It's just like,
this is like such old dude music. Like, I imagine like some old ass teacher like smoking a joint in the crowd being like,
this is some like Paul Di Rienzo shit.
Yeah. Can we talk smack about
No, we can't.
So, okay. So everybody who's listening to this show, me and Peter, what we really want to do as our left-splaining, what would say,
get us on Chapo.
Yeah. Get us on Chapo. Get us on Katie Halper. We just want to go on everybody's leftist podcast and act fucking ridiculous and like bitch about this and be like, oh, like, but you guys just don't understand what it's like to fucking have sat outside the courthouse on J20. What's going on? What? All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you ever want to be on this show, email me at Took, T-O-O-K, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Coming up next, we got Brooklyn Bandstand with Tom Tenney. We're going to play out with A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, the Joan Baez version. Thank you all for being here. I love you so much. Go fuck yourself.
Blue-eyed son, oh, where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of 12 dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's hard, and it's hard, and it's hard, and it's hard. It's a hard fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son? Oh, what did you see, my darling young one? I saw a newborn babe with wild wolves all around it. I saw a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers a-bleeding. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. Sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's hard, and it's hard, and it's hard.